didn't. So imagine with me a cheese board that's beautiful and looks nice, and then I had scripture put on it. But I wanted a theme, and I didn't know what to do. And in the midst of that, it wasn't going to be about celebrating a piece of technology. I mean, who cares? It's technology. But it was about the ways that we work together and the purpose that we were working together. It was about remembering how we did that, because it had been 18 months since we went live, and remembering the ways that God showed up over and over and over again over the course of those 4 years. Curtis had conveniently asked me to consider speaking out of Thessalonians, and I got all the way through verse 3 before I was struck with how well this verse captured my experience of the team and the community over these past couple years. Verse 3 says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." Work produced by faith. Not just our hands, not just our expertise, not our thoughts, but our work produced by faith. The labor, the late nights, the problem solving, the literal labor as it felt like we were giving birth to something we had no control over, the labor prompted by love, and the endurance inspired by hope. Folks that delayed their retirements so that they could see this project through to the end. This was it. This captured how in awe I was of the sacrifice and commitment of this team to work and labor and endure. And it was because of their love for Jesus and their hope that this work would lead others to know Jesus more. It's a great story, right? As we come together in Thessalonians, let us pray. Jesus, we are grateful for every day. Every day that we wake up in the morning and have the opportunity to be in relationship with you, Lord, and relationship with others. And it is our longing heart's desire to know more of what that is. We give you your word as you first gave to us, and we trust that it will not return to you void, but do a work in our own lives and our lives as a community. Amen. So from there, from that point in the story, August, the end of August, I did not pick up Thessalonians again until a couple months ago, where my common refrain to Curtis, and he can testify that this is true, was why? Why Thessalonians? It's so boring. It really is just so basic. Acts 17 tells us, I mean, we see it, you know, Acts is a very exciting book. We see Paul and Silas were in Thessaloniki, and while preaching there, some Jews, a great number of God-fearing Greeks, and quite a few prominent women chose to follow Jesus. And soon after that, a mob of jealous folks, people jealous of Paul and his companions, caused a riot and accused Paul of defying Caesar's decree, so they were forced to flee for their lives. That's about it. So as I read Thessalonians, this is basically Paul's letter to the church that started there after a short time. And he's just being really encouraging. What was I supposed to say about this? Of Paul's letters, Thessalonians just seems like a word of encouragement. There's no drama. There's no excitement. There's no passion, no intrigue, no conviction. It's just a letter of encouragement to a solid group of folks in Thessaloniki. I read it. I didn't feel moved. I didn't feel convicted. Nothing stirred in me. I didn't feel compelled. What am I supposed to say about this? And then the question changed. Praise the Lord. And I asked, what does this say about me? What does it say about me that I'm looking to be moved, to be convicted, to be compelled for intrigue and drama? When I come to church on Sunday, what do I expect to receive? The thing is, this letter of encouragement for a community This is a letter of encouragement for a community finding a way to do life together, to work, to labor, and to endure in such a way that the testimony of it, it can't even be contained by city limits, by regions, by how easy it is to get from one place to another. And those words in verse 3 can be an encouragement for us today if we can remember who we are and why we are here. Verses 6 through 10 remind the Thessalonians, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in those places, but your faith in God became known everywhere. For they themselves, Paul didn't need to say it, they themselves, other people were saying, the report of the kind of reception you gave us, they tell us how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Others in Concord and Dublin and what's over the hill over there? Tracy. In San Jose. San Francisco, they tell us how you turn to God from idols and serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. So what did you put your trust in before you turned to God? What were those idols? What were those things that gave you confidence in who you were, that gave you identity? The things that you turned to for citizenship, for belonging. What did you put your trust in before you turned to God? Do you remember? It's actually hard for me sometimes because I feel like I've been me so long. The funny thing is, those idols continue to pop up still. How would you say that your life has changed? The community became imitators of Paul and the Lord. They didn't just turn from idols. They actually began to serve the living and true God today. The ways that they lived became a testimony to what they had seen of Paul and what they heard of Jesus. In what ways do we as church here imitate how Jesus lived with others, how Paul and his companions lived with the Thessalonians? We gather in small groups, praying together, carrying each other's burdens. We share meals together. We're serving the broader community with generosity. So I'm wondering, are we encouraged today by the way you do community throughout the week? Or are you like me, coming on Sunday sometimes, just looking for that moment of compulsion to get me through, like that kick of energy to get me through the rest of the week until I come back? It's the way that I live my life during the week, reflecting the way that I've seen Jesus live and the way that I've seen other folks that I want to imitate live. The community I serve with at work encourages me most days. Because the work we do together has a purpose behind it to establish witnessing communities of Christ followers at colleges and universities to reach with the gospel and teach folks to live the gospel. And that's the testimony that we work towards. But this is my church. This is where I come on Sundays. You all are my community. And when I asked myself, where do I see Christ modeled in my church community? Where do I see the life of testimony going forth? I quickly recalled breakfast. I knew I was missing out because since COVID, I hadn't made a way to participate. And this was one of the things that drew me here. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should all be at breakfast every Sunday. But I am suggesting that we all take a moment to consider and invite God to call us to grow as models and imitators of how Jesus lived with others. What do we want our community to look like? Not just on Sundays, not just at Bible study, but how are people talking about us? Do they see us as imitators of Jesus? Who are we today? How are we living life? It's complicated, friends. Meg and I were talking this morning, and I was like, I don't know how to do community. I feel like I'm failing all the time. The ways that I did community in my 20s and 30s is not the same in my 40s, going on 50s, living with my mom and dad who are in their 70s. Oh, 80s. It's not the same post-COVID. We all have masks on. There's more drama, more intrigue in the world, and yet the Lord provides a space of encouragement, of community. What do we expect on Sunday, and how is that encouragement reflected in the way that we do life together throughout the week? I need you all to help me. I'm struggling to know, what does it look like? How do I not feel like I'm failing all the time to reach all the people that I know that I care about? Let's do this together. I wanted to read chapter 1 from the Message, again, because it's just another interpretation of the way that Paul and his words can come to us, okay? It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but has also put his hand on you for something special. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating us, you imitated the Master. Although great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit, taking the trouble with the joy and the joy with the trouble. Isn't that true? Do you know that all over the provinces of Macedonia and Achaia, believers look up to you? The word has gotten around. Your lives are echoing the Master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore because you're the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted the dead idols of your old life so that you could embrace and serve God, the true God. And they marvel at how expectantly you await the arrival of his Son, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from certain doom. Amen.